How can we live our lives so that we don't have to be afraid of the authorities? This is what Paul addresses in Romans 13, verse 3. Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 13. We've been looking at this section of Scripture for the past several lessons. And we've been doing that because Romans 13, verses 1 through 7, is the most full and complete and also the most direct and clear passage in all the Bible on the question of the role of the Christian in regard to the government. What is the responsibility of the Christian in relationship to the laws of the land? In Romans chapter 13, Paul talks about government, and in verse 1 he said, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Verse 1 definitely teaches that government is of God. In verse 2, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God." He's talking here about rebellion in society. "And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." That is the condemnation or the penalty of government itself. So the Bible says in verse 2 that it is wrong to resist or to rebel against government. In verse 3, he said, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil." Rulers don't intimidate those who are doing good in society. They are there to restrain and to use force, if necessary, against criminals, those that do evil. Now, we've already dealt with the question that so many times arises, and that is, well, what about governments that do just the opposite? What happens when a government starts persecuting Christians? And if a government makes a law that contradicts the Bible, what do we do then? What about abuses of power in the government? What does the Bible teach about those questions? We've already looked at that in the second of this four-part series on this stage of looking at the government. So we've already dealt with that in the second lesson, and we don't want to use our valuable time in this lesson and unnecessarily repeat ourselves. So if you have a question about that, or if you want to look into that more, then I would urge that you go back to that second lesson. Now, we begin today in Romans 13, verse 3, with the question, how can I live my life so that I don't have to be afraid of government authorities? And Paul tells us in verse 3, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil." Again, he's stating the proper role of government here. He's not talking about the abuses of government that sometimes occur. He's talking in general terms here about what government in principle is for. He also says, "Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power?" Do you want not to be afraid of the authorities? There's the question that we're raising. And what is Paul's answer? He said, "Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." If you will do what is right, most governments will appreciate you. Now, I know that there are exceptions, but we're looking again at the general rule here. He says that rulers, generally speaking, are not a terror to good works. The good works here that he's talking about are not necessarily Christian good works, where we go to church, where you baptize somebody, where you do good to somebody in the sense that the Bible oftentimes talks about as far as congregations and Christians are concerned. Here, the good works have to do with being a law-abiding citizen. So as long as you submit to the authorities, as long as you obey the laws of the land, then most governments are not going to bother you. But they are going to deal with, and they are going to use force against, if necessary, those who are evil. Now, the evil that he's talking about here refers to lawbreakers. So we just ask a real common sense question here. Who is it in society that gives law enforcement the hardest time? What do people in law enforcement spend most of their time and energy on? Is it on good people or bad people? Is it on law-abiding citizens, or is it on the criminal element? All you have to do is to go to the local jail, and you'll get the answer to that, but you don't have to go there. Because when you hear the sirens, we know who they're after. They're not after good people. They're after the bad. They're after the criminal element. Now, this is, in general, true in any nation at any period of time. When the Jews were taken into Babylonian captivity, Jeremiah 29, verses 4 through 7 says, as long as they didn't cause any trouble in that society, the government didn't bother them. And as a matter of fact, the government gave them some leeway and some freedom even to practice their religion. You see, governments have too many other issues that are far bigger and much more serious than to spend time in the private lives of people regulating and micromanaging every little part of their lives. Now, a government can pass laws and regulations that get into the personal lives of people that can make the lives of citizens almost unbearable. But it reaches a point where the government can make all these laws and pass all these regulations, but how are they going to have the time and the manpower to enforce them? And that is an issue that governments eventually have to face. So it never works long because it's just impossible to really micromanage every person in a society. So Paul says that Christians should not be afraid of government. And he says, here's how. Just do what is good, obey the law, and they'll praise you. They will appreciate you. They will respect you because there's such a contrast in society. There's such a difference between what they're used to dealing with and the kind of people that they have to spend so much time on. And on the other hand, Christian people who don't give them any problems at all. There's a big difference there, and that causes government to appreciate the role of Christians in a society. So what we find then is that in Romans chapter 13, Paul says that if you are a law-abiding citizen, which is what he's telling us to do here, then you have no reason to be afraid of the power, that is, the authorities. Just do what is good, and you will have praise of the same. So as Christian people, should we be afraid when we see a police car? Should we feel resentful? No. Not only are we not resentful, but as Christians, we appreciate the fact and are glad over the fact that God has put civil government here. A lot of times, people forget what government is here for. God did not put government on the earth for our salvation. That's what the church is here about. That is why God gave the gospel and told the church to teach the gospel to other people. So the government is not here for the salvation of souls. The government is not in place by God in order to teach families what to do and in order to instill values, moral values in people. That's not the purpose. The purpose of civil government is to keep law and order in society, to keep down rebellion, to keep our streets safe, and to keep war from breaking out, if at all possible. So what we find then is that Paul goes on to say in verse 4, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. The word minister means a servant. So civil government is a servant of God, a servant again. Not like a Christian who is a minister who does good to other people and teaches people how to be saved. That's not the role of government. But he is the minister of God to thee for good from the standpoint of good reflecting the peace and the safety of society. So in verse 3, Paul says, do you want not to be afraid of the authorities? Then just live a law-abiding life. But, he said, on the other hand, in verse 4, if you do that which is evil, be afraid. Now again, he's using the word good and evil here in the sense of either keeping the law of the land or breaking the law of the land. And he says, if you do what is evil, be afraid. Afraid of who? Well, afraid of the authorities. Because he said, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he, that is government, is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now, he says, if you do what is evil, then you have room and you have cause to be afraid of the government. The evil here is not the same as the kinds of evil that we oftentimes read about in the Bible. For instance, envy and pride are evils. Not believing in Jesus is an evil. Disobeying the Bible in any respect is an evil. But those are not the evils that he's talking about here. Doing that which is evil refers to breaking the law of the land. And he says, if you break the law of the land, you need to be afraid. And the reason is, for he bears not the sword in vain. Government bears and has the right to use the sword. Why? because God gave them that right. God gave them that authority. Now, the word sword here is used intentionally. It is used purposely. The word sword meant one thing, and that is the power to take life, the power to kill. And that means that the government has the right to execute lawbreakers. And if the government can do that, then they can also fine people, imprison people, and give out other forms of punishment. So this passage in Romans 13, verse 4, absolutely teaches that government has the right to inflict the death penalty. The death penalty is biblical. It always has been. In the patriarchal age, early in the Bible, in Genesis 9, verse 6, we've already seen that the death penalty was given. In that passage, Genesis 9, verse 6, the Bible says, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." Genesis 9, verse 6 says that a man who murders another person is to be put to death himself. Then, as you come up to the law of Moses in the Old Testament, you find that the death penalty is given for a variety of reasons in passages like Leviticus chapter 20. When we come to the New Testament, what do we find? We find again the death penalty being the right, being the prerogative of government. Government has this power from God. God authorized governments to use capital punishment, the death penalty. Now remember, there are three institutions of God on the earth. There's the church, there's the home, and there is civil government. God gave the church certain rights and certain levels of authority and certain kinds of authority. God gives parents in the home certain authority. Parents have the right to discipline their children. So in the same way, government has the right to punish citizens who are lawbreakers, even to the point of putting some of them to death. So here in Romans 13, verse 4, we have one of the clearest, if not the most plain passage of Scripture in all the Bible that answers the question, is the death penalty biblical? Is capital punishment right in the sight of God? And the answer is yes, because civil government does not bear the sword in vain. That simply means they don't have it for empty reasons or for no reason at all. When you saw a Roman soldier back in the first century, and that Roman soldier was bearing a sword by his side, you knew that he would use it. You knew that it was there for a purpose. And you knew that that Roman soldier was not bearing or wearing that sword just to look pretty or just to make an impression. He had it there in case he needed to use it. And that sword of the Roman soldier and the Roman government became a symbol of the right to take human life. It became a symbol of what we find in society today in law enforcement. And this, again, is because of the authority of God. Civil government does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now, the Bible tells us again in verse 5, "Wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath," that is, the wrath of the government, "but also for conscience sake, because you're doing this to obey God." And he says in verse 6 and 7, that for this reason we ought to pay taxes. "For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." This may be a difficult thing because of the abuses in society, but these same people back in the first century realized that oftentimes their tax dollars, so to speak, were being misused and being mishandled. Paul says, submit to the government, realize that there are bigger issues than politics in this world, and so he urges them to be law-abiding citizens as far as they can and to make their priority living in the kingdom of God.